Like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The roll call, please.
Klimko.
Here.
Heinrich.
Here.
Noon. Here. McDonald.
Here.
Conrad.
Here.
Hagan.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Okay, first up, we have the minutes of November 4th and November 16th.
Move.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of these minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any,
I'll abstain on the 16th.
And I'll abstain on the 16th. That brings us to our council appearances. So, Jim, I'm sorry, I forgot your last name already.
That's okay. Sparkman?
Sparkman, thank you. You'll be up first.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. As Scott just said, I'm Jim Sparkman. I'm here representing the Domestic Abuse and Sexual Assault Crisis Center for Warren County. And I appreciate you guys hearing from me this evening. I did make a few notes just to keep myself from rambling along here, but I'm here basically to make a request for partial relief of the costs incurred over a use variance application. And as a struggling nonprofit, we don't have a lot of extra funds. And we're only looking for partial relief. We did pay the initial $1,500 escrow, and when we got into to the application, we said, well, if it's going to take $1,500 to get through it, then that's fine. Let's do that. So we did that willingly. The charges actually are $1,074 and some odd cents over that now. So we're actually asking for that amount of relief. Okay, we're not disputing any of the charges. I know that we have to pay for the services if we're here legitimately for an application like such as that. So, but I do have one question about the charges later on, but. But we're not here to deny or dispute any of that. The services have to be paid for. We understand that. We do question a little bit about why we were required to make a use variance application.
And you believe that's an error from what I read about this?
Yeah, we do. But, how we got there, we have no complaint against the Board of Adjustments. We have no complaint against anybody associated with that, with the board. I think it was just an error.
An honest mistake,
okay. Maybe. Maybe a misunderstanding, even between...
Okay.
Myself and Jill Zinkgraf, our executive director, who met with the zoning officer at our office down the street. So how we got there, how we got in front of the board for a use variance application, really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. We were there, okay. Maybe we should have taken legal counsel earlier on than we did. We didn't take legal counsel until after the completeness hearing.
When you believe you found the error was made?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess So having said that, I guess the only other thing is that, we think that, you know, just that question justifies us for asking for partial relief, you know, and being a nonprofit, you know, if there's any help that the council or advice that the council can give us around that, then, you know, that's what we're after. That's what we're seeking, really. But in relation to the charges, I do have one question about that. So even though we did get a site plan waiver, and that should have been on file, I believe I have a copy, or I think, Christine, I sent that to you earlier. It was in the packet. Even though we did have a site plan waiver before the hearing, we still got from Hire and Gruel a $795 charge for site plan review. So my question is, with a waiver in place, what did they need to review? We weren't changing anything on the site. We had the waiver in place. To me, that suggests that there shouldn't have been a charge for site planning. So that was $795. But again, you know, I mean, if I don't know the regulations of the, you know, the legal requirements around that. So you know, it's not my call. It's, you know, your guys' call. So
I can't say we're particularly familiar with all of that either.
Yeah. So I mean, that's essentially it. That's my request, and that's my justification for why I'm here making that request. So happy to get you guys' advice on
Chris, I'll start off with
to go forward.
Any comments on this?
Well, I did outline it in your report that I sent out today, and that's on your desk. There's a statute that specifically relates to relief of any escrow charges if the applicant is seeking relief. And that statute is NJSA 40-55D-53-2A, which I did pass on to you as well.
Yep.
The applicant has to notify the governing body, the CFO, all of the professionals, Finelli, Hiring Gruel, Mr. Gruenberg, and the Board of Adjustment in writing. The governing body can then hear the applicant after everything is submitted in writing, and come to a determination whether or not you want to grant the relief of the $1,074.50, is that correct?
Yep.
To the Domestic Abuse and Rape Crisis Center. If the governing body decides not to do that, the Domestic Abuse Center can file another appeal to the Warren County Construction Board of Appeals, and that's where it will be heard.
Yeah.
So that's the process.
Yeah, and so, I mean, honestly, we want to pay what, you know, what's you know, if these charges are deserved, then, you know, we should pay them, and we want to do that. But if you find that, yeah, maybe there should be a little relief there. I mean, even if it's partial relief of the 1,074, you know, if we can compromise somehow, or, you know, every little bit will help us. So, I have one more thing. I failed to mention that I did bring a copy of the Board of Adjustment meeting minutes that does seem to support my claim, and from comments from some of the members of the board, especially on the last page. If I could just let you guys, in case you haven't seen that, if you...
We haven't seen it, but it is on our website, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We could all look it up.
Okay, very good then. All right.
Do we believe we made an error here, Chris?
I don't.
We don't know yet.
As I stated in my report, because it deals with personnel, that will be handled in my office.
Okay.
So should we speak about this later?
No.
Mm-hmm. We would have to speak about it now.
Well, I mean, we could determine whether,
because if we don't know all the details, it's hard to know whether we...
Well, you can't make a determination right now.
Right.
The process hasn't started.
Exactly.
So I need to do some fact-finding.
Okay.
And then I'm sorry, Mr.
Sparkman
would need to put his request in writing to all parties, including the professionals, and then we can have our hearing. And that's what kickstarts the governing body to make that determination.
Yeah, no, you told me that, but I wanted to make sure that we got on record as...
Sure.
With the request, so, yeah.
Okay, so we can't do anything for you tonight other than tell you we'll look into it.
Okay.
Certainly will, and if we made an error, we will do our best to make it right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith, that would be you? Okay. You are up next from MX Corporation. Your corporation.
No. Do they have handouts? I don't think so.
Do we have the one with your analysis?
Yes.
You do have the analysis, right?
Yeah. Oh, I killed a couple trees, I'm sorry. I hate when I do that.
So... And then I have brochures.
Upstairs, I saw you down at the league.
Yep. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll go over a quick overview of the program. Can everybody hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a, we're part of, we're a vendor in the pilot program here in New Jersey. The pilot program enables local units, townships, school districts, MUAs, housing authorities, to procure electricity foregoing their traditional RFP process using an online electronic process that's very simple. The only thing that the local unit needs to do is pass a resolution and run a visual auction online, and all the BPU regulated third party suppliers, electricity and gas, have access to the platforms. We've been a member of the DCA on the pilot program for 5 years now. We have approximately 125, give or take, local units in New Jersey. There are other vendors that are on this pilot program, but we feel we have the most experience, and I have a whole list of preferences, so and you can ask me to call any clients. I only brought two.
Okay.
Sorry. Let's pass them around. So basically what we did is we ran an analysis. You provided us 1 month of your billing. With that 1 month and permission, we pulled history and we came up, we have a price to compare on the second page. And if you look at the very top, you're in the utility JCP&L. Your price right now, your price to compare, we can only see the price to compare for 1 year. We don't, tariff rates in New Jersey are done every February. The utilities go out to bid. And those utilities take a price on a 3-year rolling average. In other words, they'll come up and they'll run an auction in February, and based on that price, they take last year's price and the year before that's price, both in February or March time frame, and they average those three prices together and come up with a new winter and summer rate. So that new winter and summer rate, we looked at your usage, we came up, and your price to compare right now for the next 12 months is 0.9705.
And that's combined the winter and summer
rates? Yes, it is.
Okay.
And what we're seeing right now, these are opening bids from just the top six suppliers. We assume there'll be 10 to 15, 20 suppliers that will be logged on to a live auction, and you'll probably get at least 10 suppliers bidding. Maybe today we ran two auctions. We did Gloucester Township MUA and Lakewood Township MUA. And both of those auctions, one of them was JCP&L, had 18 bidders logged on, and I think we had about 12 bidders that actually bid. They achieved in JCP&L an 8.25, I believe. And then we did one in PSE&G and Atlantic City Electric, but those are different pricing. So they're an MUA, they're going to get a better price because they use electricity more. Even, they don't turn off the light, and I mean, it's an MUA or sewage authority is going to get a little better pricing. But I assume that you're going to get, based on these opening bids, you're going to have over a penny cheaper, which it equates, you only spend $30,000 a year on electricity, so it's not a heck of a lot, but you're going to save $3,000 at 10% a year. Looks like at a minimum.
So these are test bids that you...
These are opening bids. What they do is they just come in and they just put in a bid. But when they visually go online to an auction, what they do is they see all the other suppliers, but they don't know who the supplier is. It's just supplier one, supplier two. But on the internet, you're going to see a grid. And that grid's going to have 12-month pricing, 18-month pricing, and 24-month pricing. Local units in New Jersey can't sign a contract for over 24 months. You can't run an auction on a Monday. You can't get a contract on a Monday. There's a few other rules. We have to have this RFP in place for 10 days before we can run a live auction. But in a live auction, if I ran this auction the same time this bid was put in, now prices change every day, but I can tell you commodities haven't changed that much since this was put together on November 30th, which is a few days ago. You would probably achieve around 8.5, 8.4 as a price, I'm guessing.
John, I got a question. So this locks you in for 24 months for the one that you highlighted?
The way the process works is we'll run the auction. There's no charge. We get paid a fee from the supplier only when you sign the contract. You can choose a 12, 18, or 24 month, lock that in. I'll provide you with that contract. I'll provide you with the updated savings analysis that you're going to bring to a council meeting. So let's say the next council meeting you want to run an auction. You bring the savings analysis, you have a contract, and you decide then with the pricing and what you see. If you decide to move forward, you pass the resolution. We need the contract back the next day and the resolution. We can send the resolution to the DCA or you can send it to the DCA, and that's basically it. And if you decide not to move forward, it's not in your best interest, or you feel like, you know what, we don't like what we achieved, we might want to do it another time, or we don't like John, we want to use another vendor, you can do that too.
John, why did you use the 24-month for Major Energy when their 12-month kilowatt-hour rate is less? Is this just for an example?
No. We believe that for budget certainty, right now the longer term is better,
okay,
because there's a number of things that could happen in the future. In 1 year, you could go out to bid again, and let's say these were final bid prices. Let's say we ran the auction today, and we're recommending you go with Major Energy 24. Why would you do that, John, when it's 86? It's really not that big of a difference, mm-hmm, and there's always a risk. And natural gas right now, which is trading about $2.20, a year and a half ago was trading at $6. If I came in here a year ago and I ran an auction for you, the price to compare would be approximately the same, maybe a little more, let's say 10 cents. But if I ran an auction, the price that we would have probably achieved would be 9.6, and the delta would be very close.
Mm-hmm.
But because natural gas has gone down so much, and then everybody might, you know, you might say, well, there's a lot of fracking going on, there's going to be a lot more natural gas. That's true, but if EPA gets their way and a lot of coal fire plants close, there's going to be a lot more pressure on that natural gas. And also you have the...
It's protection against price fluctuations.
It really is, and there's a lot of things. I can sit here for an hour, but I have a crack crystal ball. I could be wrong. It could go up, could go down. So
right,
it's like you want to lock in, you want to get budget certainty. It's so close. Why not? You know, you have a nice savings here.
But if it went
10%.
Down, we would still be paying that price.
Yeah.
If it went down and you lock in for 24 months, that's your fixed rate. That's the price you're paying.
This percentage you came up with, the 9.82%, is it safe to say, because I know the study was only for this building, correct?
The study was for all the bills that were given. If you go, let's go to the next page, you'll see you'll see all the addresses, or the last page. So Christina provided me all the addresses and all the meters for the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's included.
On one of the pages, you talk about the bandwidth tolerance.
Sure.
So that's assuming that we're going to stay using the same amount of electricity, give or take a few percentage points.
That's a great question. So,
because we're looking at solar.
Yeah, that's, well, I was going to ask that, and that's a question I was asked. So if you're going to go long-term and you're really going to look at solar and you decide, So maybe 1 year would be better, or even, you know, we could run six-month options. If you're planning to go solar on your main meter, and we're not really sure if you're going to go solar or not, maybe we do a short term, and then, you know, you figure out what you're going to do, which meter you're going to go solar in, if it's going to be, you know, let me see your meter usage here, if it has it. Sometimes they don't spell it out. I didn't get a chance to look at this. Yeah, I don't see your, I'd have to look in our back office to see that, but...
But that's part of the auction, is we're going to stay plus or minus a certain percentage.
25%. That gives you a great variance. I mean, you're not going to go above 25, unless you make major changes or solar. Even if you did a LED, I could see, you know, maybe 10%, 15%. And what happens if you go below or above that 25%? The supplier goes out to the market and then buys. So you could actually get a credit because they could get it cheaper, or it could be more expensive, and then you would have a surcharge. So depending on where the market is, they have to go out and buy more. You know, and if you use less in it, then they go out and they say, okay, well, he used less. What's the market rate for that amount that you're supposed to use, you know? So, yeah, there is a, you know, if you're going to go solar, what's the plans on going solar?
We have a solar field that's going to go next to our sewer plant. Is the sewer plant included in this? I don't even know what their address is.
I believe the sewer plant is.
Well, the address would be there. Where's the address?
313 West Washington Avenue.
Yep, okay, that's there. But we don't know if that's going to get built this next year.
Right, we don't know when
it's it's supposedly built 4 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We're still waiting on it. And, you know, we have a study going that did solar on our buildings here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't know if that's going to go forward in this coming year or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that might be, you know, as you say, maybe a 1 year would be what we want there, because we could probably still stay within that plus or minus 25%, because I can't imagine that being done before late next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no.
By the time we go through the RFP process and all of that, get it actually installed and up and running.
I've had many townships tell me they're going to go solar, and very few have actually moved forward, or the time limit from when they say. But even if you're thinking about it, and you are, I'd look at the shorter term. I wouldn't go out to the 2 year, because I don't want to, you know, but that would be my recommendation.
Okay.
And we can even do 6 month auctions if, you know, if need be. We put 6 months in there.
Any other questions?
Any term.
Oh, they do 6 months, you said?
We can do a 3 month in the auction. So we've done that before. We just put it out there. We just add another column.
But the shorter the term, probably the higher the...
Yes. Well, not always. Now, you want to look at the short terms, because right now, yeah, for the winter, yeah. But, I mean, if you would do a six-month term, it'd probably be a little higher, yes. Because it's 12 months including, right? You're including a whole year. Because they're assuming, okay, we're looking at this. We're looking at a January start. So you have January, December. You got a full year.
Right.
You go to half the year, you know, you're looking at the winter. Yeah, you're going to pay more. Yeah, 6 months.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other questions? Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
We'll certainly take a look at it.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to open up the audience portion of the meeting for remarks, petition, statement, and testimony from guests.
Good evening.
Mr. Arrington, name and address for the records, please.
Name and address, Jay Arrington, 68 East Washington Avenue, apartment 403, right across the street.
Yes, sir.
Doing business as Poetry and Motion Productions, Incorporated. Here to give you an update on the theater progress, so as such as it is. And again, thank you very much for allowing me to stand before you, kind ladies and gentlemen, this evening. Last time I was here, I informed you about the changes that we had made from one organization to the other, and that I was in the process of converting my for-profit organization into a nonprofit. As of this moment, everything is done. with the exception of the stamp of approval from the state of New Jersey for the public filing, which is my articles of incorporation. I should have that paperwork this week. It's been 4 weeks. It takes 4 to 6 weeks to get it back. Once I receive that paperwork, I can file my IRS 1023, and I can officially begin to fundraise as a nonprofit. So that's where we are. We've gotten quotes for insurance on the building, property insurance. We have quite a few people lined up to give us some donations, but as of yet, I can't accept it because we're not officially de facto a nonprofit. But we have a lot of people on our page who are anxious to do work, to do things for us, to help us in any way they can. And like I said, until such time as I can officially say we are who we are, I won't accept any money. I've been kind, I've been blessed enough to have some gracious and supportive board members, a few which are here tonight, who have come out of their pockets, personal funds, to fund what we've been doing so far, because the service that we're using costs us $1,000. The insurance is going to cost us $9,000. As of right now, we anticipate the first of the year entering into an agreement with the AIA of New Jersey, as we've discussed before in the past, and we're going to put them on retainer to help us coordinate a lot of the construction process that's going to take place. And of course, the statewide competition for the renderings for the theater. And that's about it. And like I said, it's a slow process. We're holding an acorn now, but we know we got an oak tree in there somewhere. So we just have to keep nurturing it. Again, I am looking for, anticipating that you all will support us in the request that we've made. I know you don't vote on it until January, but hoping that you will support us because we need all the help we can get. It's a community thing. We don't want any Pyrrhic victories here where somebody wins but everybody else loses. We want everybody to win, and that's what this is all about. Having said all of that, which was quite a mouthful, are there any questions for me, from anyone? Yes, Councilman Higgins, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you this
evening? I'm doing fantastic. If I was any better, I'd have to be twins.
Where are we at in the process with signing the lease purchase agreement?
Well, we have the owner here to address those issues for you tonight. He came up from Florida, Mr. Schumann, and I'll let him come up now if you want to speak to him, okay?
Sure.
All right. Then.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Dennis Schumann. Would you like to address Mr. Higgins' question?
Mr. Higgins?
Yes, sir. I'll be more than happy to address you. Feel free to ask me whatever questions you like.
All I want to know is where are we at in the process of signing the lease purchase agreement?
I'm in the process of drafting the lease.
Okay.
At this point. So it's still probably a few weeks, maybe a month away. It's a lengthy process. I don't know if you've ever been involved in lease drafting, but I do that for a living. And
okay.
It's complicated, and fitting into my other schedule is difficult.
Okay.
I wanted to also give an opportunity to you, as owner of the building, to answer any questions and give you a little bit of background as to why Jay's doing this and why we're doing it as landlords. But first, I want to give you the opportunity to have questions for me. Feel free to.
Yeah, I don't think we do. We've been asking Mr. Arrington quite a bit.
Okay. Is it going to be a lease or a lease purchase?
It will be a lease purchase.
Okay.
It will be a lease purchase. First of all, it's important for the 501c3 that it be a lease purchase, because otherwise I tie their hands.
Right.
Okay. Understanding why we're doing this, I think, is important for the council. For many years, I had an operator in there, as you're well aware, and I was given to believe the town was very much in support of him. Don't move him out. Help him to succeed. We didn't collect rent for many, many years on him. And unfortunately, he also left us with tax bills, water and sewer bills that were supposed to be his responsibility. We were on the brink of selling it to someone who would leave it dark. Literally, at the moment that I was up here to sign papers on it, Mr. Arrington called me. And he said, I'm interested. So, took a ride up here and we listened to him. And what he said had amazing attraction to me. Why? What he was offering, been there. What he was saying was not just that he would offer an entertainment facility, which is wonderful, and I think the town needs it, and I think you'd all agree on that, but he was offering an educational aspect that I think will help improve the cultural nature of the area immensely. And I think the town will benefit tremendously from it. What it meant from our perspective was we've got a man who followed by saying, oh, by the way, we don't have any money, which meant we were going to be taking the brunt of it. And it meant that we were effectively going to be making a major investment to continue this instead of selling it and walking away and not our problem anymore. I got resistance from my partner, but I was able to persuade him that at the end of the day, this would be in the best interest of the town, and if everything goes well, hopefully better for us than if we just sold it now and it went dark. We are moving to help Jay, Mr. Arrington, to make this happen. I believe this is in the best interest of the town. I don't live here. I live in Florida. I'm not here on a daily basis. I grew up in Flemington, so I know the Washington Theater and grew up with it, but I'm not here. So it's really not about what I think is best for the town. It really is, as town fathers and mothers, what you guys think. And all that I'm asking from you is your affirmation that we're going the right direction. Because if this is something you want, my partner and I are prepared to stand behind it and make it happen, give Jay the opportunity to bring it to fruition.
I don't think there's any question that all of us would love to see it be a viable venue again, not necessarily a movie theater, but some kind of an entertainment facility. You mentioned that with the previous operator that, we stood behind him, and we did. We liked his vision. Unfortunately, I don't think he had the wherewithal, or at least so it appears, to make it happen. Don't know why, but, he gave it his best shot. It failed. It happens. So we certainly welcome Mr. Arrington and his input, and his efforts. We welcome your efforts, to make this happen. And I don't think anybody here will disagree with me. And if you do, now's your time to speak up. But, we have a lot of faith in Mr. Arrington, at least I do personally, to make this happen. I'm sure he will. He seems to have that kind of a drive and an attitude and a little bit of the experience behind it to make this sort of thing happen. Now, if we back a bad horse again, if you will, and it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But if we don't try, it'll never happen. Mm-hmm. So we are very much encouraged and are definitely willing to try.
Well, I have to say, we both are backing the horse.
Yeah, and more so, I think.
Yeah, and in this case, I'm taking a much heavier investment in the project than anyone else. So I certainly believe he's got the capability to pull it off, otherwise I wouldn't be standing here.
And from a businessman, that it helps to know that you think he has the business acumen to make it happen.
Yeah, and you just nailed it on the head, because that is what it's about, is having the business acumen. Having a vision is great. Having an idea is wonderful. But if you don't have the business wherewithal, the knowledge, the ability to pull it off, mm-hmm. you'll wind up with a great idea, as many ideas go by the wayside, because they don't have more than just a visionary behind it. I believe Jay's got it. Jay's also got something else that's very important. He listens. And that's most significant. One of the things that I've insisted upon is I want to make sure that we don't wind up in the same place, because when the last one got his funding, he was supposed to invest it in the theater, and that never happened. So I am actually going to be supervising the checking account. I won't be writing checks, but I'll be able to see to make sure that everything's going where it's supposed to, because I want to make sure this all goes the way it's supposed to. I want to see this succeed. I want it to see it succeed for me, for him, for you, and for all of this town.
Is that going to be part of the lease purchase agreement, your oversight, if you will?
It won't be part of the lease purchase. I'll actually be...
It's a handshake agreement?
It's a a privilege to see the progress.
Okay.
Because, again, I don't want money coming in and funding parties. That's not what it's for. It's to make this work. And we're investing a lot to make it happen. I want to make sure that everything goes the way it's supposed to.
Okay.
And if I might add, that's already been arranged.
And I think that is something that's important to all of us, because I think that the building clearly needs a lot of work.
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, things that should never have been neglected were, and it caused significant destruction and damage to the building. So we've got to climb up to get to ground level.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other questions? With that, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the audience?
Hello.
Reverend Bachnight, Mount Pisgah, and just plain old Carolisa Dernbachnight, 95 Lenape Trail. Couple of things. I don't know where we stand with the question about the traffic coming out of the school parking lot, but about a month ago, I was up on North Lincoln Avenue, and as I sat talking with some of the residents on the street, I'd say a good 12 cars came out of the parking lot, out of the driveway, turned left, did not slow down, and then hung the right and went down New Street. Two other cars came out of the parking lot, down the driveway, turned left, and went straight up the avenue. And no one was doing 25 miles an hour. And we have, again, more and more children and people who are out on that street, and no one is slowing down. And it's really getting to be a problem. And that includes the new rate which JCP&L rolls down North Lincoln Avenue. So we're trying to find out what's going on with that. One of our residents was actually followed by someone who was angry with him and took off up the street, and we were literally moving people out of the way. I don't know what we're going to do about it, but again, something needs to be done. I remember your statement about speed bumps being noisy. I'd rather have a noisy speed bump than something happen to somebody on the street.
But also, what was brought up with speed bumps is the ambulances, if they're carrying somebody, you know, that can be a detriment. Now, that may be a one in a million.
That they're going to go through, if they go through that, you won't have to worry about the speed bump. They'll be jostled so badly, nothing will matter if they go through the canal.
And Lieutenant Teeter, I know you had the little radar detector device up there. Is there anything that you could update?
We did the enforcement up there. The typical, whenever we do
everybody
enforcement
down.
In area, and same thing with this one, it's a lot of residents that we end up pulling on for speeding. They were the ones speeding. And we gave a lot of warnings out, and we will continue doing enforcement up there. New Street is very, towards New Street is very bumpy, as she said. So we didn't have any excessive speeds. However, the sign, people see the sign. So with that said, they're not going to go excessively fast until we complete it. We did have it up there for a few days, and we do have the speeds recorded. And like I said, we didn't have anything excessive on there. But we will continue to try to put enforcement up there.
Yeah, it seems like that after school time, the school lets out is the critical area.
We have the same critical areas over at the high school with kids coming out of high school, a lot of different areas and different intersections. We did do enforcement and did write some tickets.
Right. And it lasts for a couple of days. Everybody slows down, and then they speed back up again.
I'm going to address the JCP&L problem.
They like the new road.
Here's what they want to do. I talked to Stan Prager.
Okay.
Personally talked to the man, and he assured me that they were actually going to pave that area of the canal. Hear me out, please. and they are going to pave it in such a way that it takes the water away from their property, and they're going to put a gate up.
Since you paved, since we paved, the pitch
yes.
is not as bad.
Okay, well,
so that's
he
part
assured
of the
me that they were going to pave that area where we stopped and
okay.
take their water and pitch it away from your parking lot,
okay.
and they're going to put a gate up there.
So a gate on both sides or just on our side?
Just on your side.
Okay.
Well, that would prevent people from going, one gate would prevent them from going through. And once somebody, and it's going to be a sizable gate.
Okay.
It's not going to be a wire stretched across the road with flags hanging. It's actually going to be...
So they used to have, the poles and the chain link before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, he said it's going to be a swing gate, like the...
Like a farmer's gate.
Absolutely.
And who's going to be, we're going to get locked to the fire company? And
that's
going
to
be a lockbox right there.
Okay.
Okay.
I think he said that you guys will have access to, the police department will have access to, and the emergency squad and fire department.
So a Knox box, like the
Knox
businesses?
Box, yeah.
Those 12 cars that you had mentioned came out, made the left, and went and sped up the road there. Do you know about what time that was?
They were having, must have been an evening program, so it was after 7.
If you can take more note as far as like a time frame, like an hour time frame,
okay.
and I'll give you my card after the meeting.
That's fine.
And I'll try to get a couple of our self-cars out there.
Okay.
Where they don't see our light bars and whatnot. If we can stop a few of those cars and get the point across, maybe that'll work also.
Thank you. On the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, the young man from Voorhees who had did the viewing at Warren Hills, it was completely crowded, and I understand that, but they parked on both sides of Ramapo Way all the way up to Lenape Trail and all the way around the corner. So the residents were playing dodgeball, literally, with other cars trying to get in and out of that street. Are there restrictions to parking in that way? I mean, they parked in front of the mailboxes. Mm-hmm. They started from the corner and went all the way up the hill. And parked on both sides.
No.
I'm not aware of there any parking restrictions
yeah,
being there.
Parking signs there.
It's just not normally a problem because there's
right.
not normally
right.
that much attendance. That was a clearly a big traffic.
And it was also a hazard because we had people walking back and forth across
right.
the avenue.
Yeah.
But that's not likely to happen often.
Okay. If it does, if it happens again, should we contact you?
Yeah. Well, if it happens again, there's not too much we can do as long as they're not blocking driveways. If they're blocking driveways, it does violate the law.
Or too close to an intersection.
Yeah, you can do the intersection, you can do the fire hydrants,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
And then my favorite location, on Saturday the 21st of November, a gentleman pulled out in front of one of your police cars, making a left-hand turn out of the pizza. The officer actually slowed down.
Out of where?
Out of the, is it the?
PSC?
Domino's. No, out of Wells Fargo. Out of Wells Fargo, made a left-hand turn. And he had to speed up because if he hadn't, he would have collided with the police car. Officer kept going. The guy kept going the other way. And I'm like, this is, there's just nothing there and it doesn't make a difference. And, I know we talked about a mirror being on the far side, but the no left turn is just not being, paid attention to.
Yeah, but am I not mistaken that no left turn is basically for the first two drive-through parking spots, correct? Not for the ones that are down further towards the Domino's Pizza, correct?
Right.
So it's a left turn that they can make a left turn out of the far part of the parking lot, but not coming out of the drive-through lane.
The first two drive-throughs by the window, and the next one over, when you pull out of there, there's no left-hand turns because you're so close to the building and the cars. The other, the furthest one isn't even part of the bank parking lot, correct?
It's a parking lot.
So that has
so it's only for coming out of the bank.
The drive through, correct.
Wow.
The other part of it is not part of the bank.
Okay.
I was under the impression you couldn't make a left turn across several yellow lines.
But you can't pull out of any type of driveway.
Sorry?
The double yellow goes all the way down West Washington. You are able to make a left-hand turn out of driveways, intersections. Any, I mean, otherwise everyone would have to go right.
Right. I mean, that's pulling out of...
Yeah, well, I just remember that discussion from Union Square in Phillips Park.
I don't worry about it anymore.
As far as the officer, you know, he was possibly going to call, so he's going to address the cutoff. We have about 80% of our calls, we don't use lights and sirens.
That's fine.
Because we have to get there, but if it's not, we're free to call it.
So that changes any of our concerns now, as far as making a left-hand turn? So you can make it if you're not coming through the drive-through lanes?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience? Seeing none, I'll accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we have our reports.
Motion to receive and file.
Second.
Any discussion on any of the reports?
I have an issue again with the Board of Health report. Thank you.
Yes.
Like again.
The municipal engineer did reach out to them and gave them 15 days to repair.
Okay.
And that's been taken care of.
You're talking about the diner?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the date this report came in.
November 11th.
November 11th. It was sent probably about the same time this report came in.
Okay.
So something that they had to take care of it within 15 days?
Within 15 days. I'll try and get a status from him by the end of the week.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah.
That's all.
Anything else? We have no old business, so we have first discussion only on fire code, fire prevention code.
There was a motion and a second made on accepting the reports.
Did I not call the vote?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Allen, I believe you would like to address this a bit.
David Allen, fire official for Washington Borough. First, I'd like to say this was, these two ordinances were started by the previous fire official. So it's an ongoing procedure that we had, and it's finally to fruition where it became before the council. And do we have any questions? Either of them, I guess we'll start with the fire prevention code.
Does the state already have codes that pertain to these two things?
Yes, they do, but it doesn't pertain to single-family homes. Fire code, I have no jurisdiction on owner-occupied single-family or two-family homes, only multiple dwellings and commercial properties. So, and also part of the code is they require to have an ordinance on fees. That's why there's fees in here for smoke detector inspections and also permits.
Mm-hmm.
Permits for chimneys, fire pits, and...
For recreational fires, there is no permits. If they want a bonfire, then it's a permit. But if they're going to do a roofing job and somebody uses a torch on a single-family home, they'll have to get a permit.
Do you take a permit for the roof closet, a burning permit?
No, just a permit for the roof, because they're using a torch. So an open flame permit.
And the only thing that I saw that was a fee for residential properties was when they were being sold.
Yes.
So that is smoke detectors, Article II smoke detectors?
Yes.
So that actually was for a single-family, two-family, multifamily dwellings, if you're selling it, that it needed to be inspected to make sure that it had...
Yes, that's in the fire code now, and...
And that's a new part of the fire code, which, a newer part, so that's why some houses might not have had it and would need to be inspected and to have that.
No, it's been in effect for a long time, probably since 1985, approximately, when they made the fire code.
Okay.
But we're just updating the fees.
Okay, all right.
Well, Dave, I have a question. If you said that, like, if you're doing a roof and you need a torch for the roof, what if you're working on, like, a car, and you can't get a bolt off, and you need a torch? You have to go get a permit for that?
Technically, yes.
Okay, so wait, that's technically. So what if somebody happens to ride by, and you're in the middle of working, and you need to break that bolt?
If I see it, I can order them to stop working, and that they'll have to come to my office to get a permit for that.
But that would be in a building, correct, not in a driveway?
Correct, yeah.
In a building?
Yeah.
On a structure, yeah, yeah. Well...
No, you're talking about a car.
I'm talking about, like, out in your driveway.
Yeah, but if you're working on your car in a garage versus working on the car in your driveway, 10 feet away from the house.
Inside the dwelling, isn't it?
Yeah, but a roof isn't inside the dwelling.
No, but it's part of the dwelling.
These sparks go all over the place.
The walls go up just as fast as the roof.
Right.
Yep.
The sparks and all that.
Sparks.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I'm just asking, like, if you're in your garage, your driveway, and next to your house, you have to stop your work?
Well, these things inside, but that's outside, you're talking about, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm asking.
Dave, you said here about parking and yellow lines and stuff like that, fire zones.
Yes.
Who's responsible for that?
It's going to be the owner of the building and the property is responsible for...
They mark out the stand pipes and stuff?
Yeah, the owner's responsible for marking.
Okay, well, then one other one. I talked to both Judy and you about it, is that parking in front of the firehouse. But under state motor vehicle code, there's no parking in front of the firehouse. Should that be included in this, or is that included in the parking?
It doesn't specifically need to be part of the code, because Section 42-20, designation, the fire official may require or designate public or private fire lanes. So I could designate the I could designate that as a fire lane, and I can talk to Christine, and we can have it painted yellow.
I'm just looking at the trucks when they come out of the building. When they come out, sometimes they take a wide turn, or when they back up, they take a wider turn to back in. And if they happen to put the car that's parked on the other side of the street, who are they going to run into? You're running the fire department. "Oh, you hit my car!" And it's just that they need, sometimes need to even turn around, back the trucks up.
I always thought that over there was all no parking anyway.
That's what I always thought, that's when I was in the department, and even now.
Used to have a yellow one.
But as the day goes on, there's...
Directly across the street from the base of the fire.
Are they parking there now?
There's trailers parked over there, there's trucks parked over there, there's cars parked over there.
I don't see trailers over there. I look out this window every single day.
They have a contractor that comes in, works at Denzil.
Oh, he is working there.
And he parks his trailer 24/7.
I'm not sure where the no parking starts and ends there, but we can address that.
We can address it.
Yeah, and to make it a fire.
I'll speak with the officers of the fire department and see what we can come up with, and I'll speak to you about it.
Okay.
I'm just looking at, so nobody's claiming somebody can get in front of it. Yeah, we can try.
No, I understand that.
Because not only, for on the street, not only painting the curb, but also signage will have to be put up.
More signage.
More signage.
Just what I want.
Well, let's say, the thing that's highlighted in here is going to be removed.
I think, Christine, the parking didn't start, so...
No, I think those are additions.
Additions.
Can we have one conversation at a time, please? Did you get your question answered, Mr. Higgins?
Yeah, they're additions.
Okay. Anything else?
And so you would recommend that this ordinance, as it is written at this time, proceed?
I do, yes, I recommend it.
So we could have that for our first meeting in January?
Correct.
Well, I do have a question. Let's see here, 4209, second page, adopted, number nine. Respond to and investigate forms of alarm or fire within the borough of Washington. How does that interact with the county fire marshal or the police department? Lieutenant Teeter, you guys have arson investigators, correct?
Yes, sir.
Fire investigators? So who's going to take precedence over a fire scene?
Over the fire scene?
Over the investigation. Who takes precedence?
Well, we have Joe Lake, which is the county marshal. He usually supersedes our fire.
Right, and according to the fire code, the fire official has to investigate or cause to investigate. So specifically, the fire official doesn't have to do the investigation. I am trained in investigations, but I don't have to do them per se, but as long as it gets done, it's okay. And I do have a good working relationship with the county fire marshal.
Else? Is everyone in agreement to have this ready for our first meeting in January? Okay.
Yes.
That brings us to the next one.
Yes.
The fire pits, chimneys, et cetera, et cetera. I think it was brought up that many of the things that are in this are already illegal under state code.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my fire code, or the fire code, I have no jurisdiction on owner-occupied single-family and two-family homes. So this
would allow there to be some jurisdiction on
yes.
the site.
Okay.
So when the fire department gets called to an illegal open burn, i.e. a fire that's in the ground, what happens?
They're ordered to put it out. Whether the homeowner puts it out or police officer might grab the garden hose, or this just gives us a little bit more teeth, you know, because somebody might complain and say, hey, I thought I could do this. And no, it's against the fire code. Now we will have some teeth behind us saying that it's against the borough ordinance. You can't have a fire.
So we can fine them between from $50 to $500.
Yes.
Have we had problems? I mean, I know people have complained with the smoke coming in, but you know, I don't know if you can regulate smoke.
It
no.
just says yeah. that you could if there was a prevailing wind and it was causing. Here, it says it somewhere. Let's find it.
I mean, I think it would also be covered under your nuisance ordinance for creating a, you know, hazardous situation, unhealthy situation for the
I've had several residents come in and ask me, can they have a fire pit? And I said yes. And I took basically this was taken out of our fire code and put as an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave them a copy of that and I highlighted certain items and I just said, if it becomes a nuisance, if neighbors complain, we're going to tell you to put it out, and you'll have to put it out. And they're always in agreement. Oh, yeah, sure, whatever you want, you know, okay.
It's at that point, but when
it happens. It says section two.
Yes,
page two, section two. Open burning that is offensive or objectionable because of smoke emissions or when atmospheric conditions or local circumstances make such fires hazardous shall be prohibited.
Yep.
So that would address smoke blowing maybe directly into somebody's window.
Yes.
You have to remember, too, some of these fires, these open burners, they're not just simple.
Oh, no, they're not in the pit.
Some people just think.
Yeah. They throw wood on the grass.
Yeah,
and
some of them are huge fires.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
No.
So, Mr. Allen, it would be your recommendation that we adopt this.
Yes.
Yes. I know there was one question that was brought up to me a week or so ago. It's in Section 3 under recreational fires. The last sentence, fires in approved containers. There, somebody was looking for a definition of approved containers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have one, so we could strike that sentence.
Mm-hmm. And then that was just a little confusing. I put a question mark here. It says fires in approved containers, so i.e. fire pit with metal screen as a cover, shall be permitted, provided that such eliminated fires are not less than 15 feet from any structure. I don't understand that sentence.
I'm not comfortable with that sentence either. You know, having a recreational fire within 15 feet of the structure, I think is too close.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So maybe just take that sentence out.
Yes.
Okay.
Because everything else says 25 feet.
Yes.
Right.
And then that, for some reason, says, and that was confusing. That was the only sentence in here that didn't go with everything else.
Section 5 is a little open-ended. You got the charcoal burners and open flame cooking devices. Should not be operated or stored on combustible balconies or decks. Okay, but then you go on to the portable LP, and it just says on any porch balcony or any other portion of the building. It doesn't specify a deck. So say I have my grill on my deck with LP. Are you allowed to have that?
That could be considered a porch or a balcony, too, I would think.
Yeah. You kind of open-ended the way it's written.
You're right.
All right.
Well, I have money. 25 feet away from my house on the concrete pad.
I like my joke.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to check on the wording on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other discussion on this?
So, are we thinking that they should be allowed on a balcony?
It's saying on the second page, it's saying on any porch balcony or any portion of the building.
So it would mean that people could not have those on a deck, or is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, they would be allowed on a deck.
Okay.
So
the LP gas cooking equipment could be on a deck, but not a charcoal burner or other open flame cooking device? Because that says on combustible balconies or decks. Right, Section 5?
Right.
Those
right.
should not be on deck. But a gas cooking barbecue grill or outdoor fireplace.
That's still an open flame, whether it's coming from charcoal, wood, or LP.
I think it's a lot safer. I mean, he would know better than any of us.
I think in the code it might be pertaining to a covered porch
mm-hmm.
or balcony.
So it should perhaps say covered porch, balcony, mm-hmm. or any other portion of the building?
Right. Yeah, well, the end one here says under any building overhead.
Right.
Well, she's saying
we just let Dave take a look at the various ordinances and
tighten
it up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, because otherwise it seems good, but that one part about the fires in approved containers and just in terms of whether something is a porch or a deck.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you could have that for our next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. We'll discuss it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you would enforce this, and the police department would be able to enforce this.
Yes, or an officer on the fire department, I believe. It's under the enforcement section, second page near the top. It doesn't have a number assigned to it at the moment. Ordinance shall be administered by the Washington Borough Fire Department, or Fire Prevention, Washington Fire Department, and the Washington Township Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that with the fire company.
You don't like that?
Put it
They tell them to put it back in.
Yeah, but that's by the cop there, right?
Huh?
Who tells them to put it out?
Usually the one of the officers.
Yes.
The officer.
Well, he's not saying an officer, he's saying anybody on the fire department.
You say anybody in the fire department can issue, right?
Yeah, any firefighter that's responding to a call for an open burn or for, well, this one is for fire pits. It's offensive. Any thoughts on that, or do you want me to run it past the fire department?
My only question would be, you said it's anybody on the fire department if they get called. What if you just have someone on the fire department who walks down the street, sees somebody out there, and just says, hey, you got to put that out, and there was no call? Like, are you giving authority to just anyone on the fire department to control anybody who has a chimney, a grill, whatever, to just think that they have the authority?
By the word, if you go by the word of the ordinance, yes.
Right.
But hopefully they'd be smart enough to say, hey, you know.
Well, yeah, but maybe we should change that so that so you don't get somebody who does go by the word.
Right.
Of the ordinance. Make the ordinance
change
more
clear. Change it to say when responding to an open
correct.
Burn.
Okay.
Chief.
Right, or by an officer of the fire department, not just any fire member.
We
could
do that too, right. To just make it a little more clear that they shouldn't just be walking by and decide that the fire doesn't look safe. Or
correct.
Okay.
Correct. But obviously, we want this to prevent hazards, and
yes.
But we don't want it to become.
We don't want to be.
I understand where you're going.
We don't
an
want to
intrusion
become a police
just
thing, yeah.
That people, you know, are.
Right.
Yes.
You didn't. You didn't do your numbers.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That takes us to Ordinance 8-2015, fixing the salary and wage of certain municipal officials and repealing other portions. Public hearing and adoption.
Motion introduced on the final passage and have the clerk read by title.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Klimka?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
An ordinance fixing the salary and wages of certain municipal officials and repealing portions of prior inconsistent salary and wage ordinances for the years beginning January 1st, 2016.
Okay, at this point, I will open up the public hearing for Ordinance 8-2015.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Extensions. And a motion to adopt, please.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? And a roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Klimka?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 9-2015 for final approval.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Hallelujah.
Any discussion on that?
Mm-hmm.
Roll call, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Klimka?
He's saying.
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
An ordinance providing funding for a sewer project on South Prospect Street for the Borough of Washington, appropriating $200,000 for such purposes.
At this point, I'll open up the public hearing on Ordinance 9-2015.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? And a motion to adopt.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Take your pick.
Got it.
Everybody's anxious for this one. Okay, and I'll say hallelujah when it's actually completed, not just funded. But okay, roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Klimka?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Heiner?
Yeah.
I think she has 15.
Yeah, Robin, you need to abstain on that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of resolutions here. Let's do 190 through 195 all together.
So moved.
These are all for redemptions of tax certificates.
I need a second.
This is the 53 Park Avenue one?
No, the one on the...
Any discussion on any of these?
No.
The roll call, please.
Meehan?
Yes.
Newman?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Blumko?
Yes.
And 197, 2015, to refund an overpayment of 2015 taxes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call, please.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Newman?
Yes.
Blumko?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conry?
Thanks.
I know it's frozen. Egan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
On your desk tonight, we have 199, 2015, appointing Sean Farrington to the Recreation Commission.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Vouchers.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any discussion on our bills? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Newman? Yes. Conry?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Blumko?
Yes.
Egan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes, everything except for our county register.
That brings us to your recap. Did it give you anything to do this week?
I will work with the Boone County Domestic Abuse and Sexual Assault Center on their appeal of the escrow. The council want to move forward in any way with the EMAX presentation or some time to think about it?
I think we need to discuss it.
Discuss it? Okay. Do you want it on the agenda for the next meeting or?
Yeah.
I think we'll need an update as to where all the various solar projects are.
I can only speak to Washington community. I don't know where we are with the school.
Yeah. Just check into it, see where we are, and we have any kind of a timeline,
okay,
even proposed.
What about the LED stuff? Scott actually has two more companies that we got at the
League.
And Christine's going to be contacting both, and we're going to have a meeting, Christine and I, and maybe Scott, if he's available with his work schedule, they're going to come in and give a price. Because this is something that a lot of places are doing, a lot of schools.
Yeah, one of the companies, they had lights that would work with the ballasts, but they were not quite as efficient as if the ballasts were removed. It was like a 6-watt versus 8-watt type of usage, so it wasn't big. But at least it's worth taking a look at.
Our ballasts don't work with the current type of lighting. We had a quote from an electrician, and they said they would have to replace everything. And then also we have to take into account, too, with these two companies, because they're probably experts with this, we had a hard time getting the electrician to give us a quote to get rid of the lights, because there's a substantial amount of lighting to get rid of. They're all filled with mercury. So that's something I'm going to be interested in seeing, is how these companies deal with that. These companies usually come in, they give a quote, and they do everything by themselves. They have subcontractors. So, but we have to really start looking at that this next year.
Because he mentioned a 10% difference with LED lights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's actually they're 50% more efficient than what we have.
Yeah, I understand that, but he was talking about the 10% in the usage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was talking about the overall usage.
Yeah,
right.
Still, it's 10%.
That's significant.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is.
That's what the savings would be that he was proposing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just got to look at the upfront cost.
Right. Figure out a return on investment.
I think the return on investment is typically 2 years, they're saying.
Which isn't bad.
Now.
So there's three companies that we could get quotes from?
We have one. We don't have one. We have a quote from an electrician to actually do the work, the retrofitting,
mm-hmm,
and getting rid of everything and retrofitting,
right,
the valves. And then I had a company in mind to actually bring the lights in and do the lighting or supply it to the electrician. but it's almost been a year, and I'm sure that those lights are no longer, the technology's changing so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It would be good if Christine and I, Christine contact them, we meet with them, and then maybe they would want to give a presentation, just like we had today, to talk about the technology and all of our options, and then we can put it on a spreadsheet and take a look at it and see what's doable within the budget. Obviously, it's not going to happen for next year.
Is that something that we'd have to go out to bid on?
It depends on the amount, right?
It does depend on the amount. It's over the bid threshold, then yeah.
What's the threshold?
17.5.
Weren't they talking about upping that for next year?
They did, but only for QPA.
Okay.
And we're not just talking this building, we're talking all buildings.
Yeah.
You're talking all the buildings.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else on your recap list there?
Well, just the fire pit discussion for the next meeting, but I do have a couple of follow-up items. I just wanted to let everyone know that Green Street sidewalks are completed. If you haven't been up there, you should take a look. They look great. We've extended the leaf pickup to December 8th because the warmer weather.
There's one more.
Yeah, one more leaf pickup.
Yeah, how would people know that? I'm sorry. How would people know
we're
that?
We're going to do a web blast. I just made that decision today.
Okay.
Seeing all the bags.
And I'm sorry, when is they're going to pick up when?
December 8th.
Next Tuesday.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, that's on the board in front.
Yeah,
a lot of people see that.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you'll like send it out with the updates, but I don't know. This.
It'll be an email blast. It'll be on the website.
Okay. But that's great because I did notice that a lot of people have their leaves out.
I know.
And I thought to myself, boy, those aren't getting picked up for a long time.
I don't know how many people had a chance to read it, but I did. Janine, former Councilwoman Leva, and I are working on updating the code book. We'll present it to council on December 15th. Hopefully we can get that wrapped up for next year. Tree lighting is scheduled for Saturday, so 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
I have somebody coming in to plug it in, unless you're going to be here. I'm not going to be here. You're driving a fire truck. Where?
What about the fire truck?
Are you driving it, the fire truck, downtown?
I don't know.
He don't know until he shows up.
It is this Saturday, yeah.
Do you want to plug the lights in, or do you want to drive the truck?
I don't know anything about fire trucks for Saturday.
Is Santa
coming on Saturday?
He is, around 5:15.
They probably worked that out. They probably did like they're supposed to work that out with the chief.
Oh, they probably did, but I wasn't sure. We'll work it out, Rudy, the details.
Yeah.
But I just want council to know it's at 4 o'clock on Saturday, this Saturday, here. Our own tree lighting.
Yes.
And then the hometown festival thing is Saturday at 5?
It goes right from here over to there.
Over to the Pocket Park.
One meets in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, the band goes through the parking lot and marches to the Pocket Park.
And the band played on.
And we have begun our sign replacement program, which you read in the CPW report. And everything I have is for executive.
Let's do council remarks. Mr. Thompson.
A couple things. You took the signs off my list, thank you. Time clocks.
When I'm ready, they will be done. They are lower on the priority list than some other items I have going on right now.
Okay. What about the cracks in the roads? About tarring them. Save some money on blacktop.
Has that been discussed by the street committee?
I don't think you can do that now because it's
too cold.
The weather.
Okay. Right, but had that been previously discussed by the committee?
No.
Yeah. Some of the roads are pretty cracked up. You say these are blocked off. That's all.
Okay.
Ms. Klimko.
When you said street signs, Christine, are you talking about replacing ones that need to be replaced, or are you talking about doing that and putting up the new ones that were going up with the ordinance that was passed last year?
Everything, all of it, the whole program, the ordinance, everything.
The handicaps, the whole...
The handicaps, the whole nine yards. Recreation signs, I can take that off your list. Everybody's, they're working on it.
They want the snow signs.
What signs? You know, something.
The snow signs are up.
Yeah, east, west, north, south.
She said the signs were on, oh.
Aren't the signs up on, they, those signs up there now, sorry.
One coming through the driveway up,
Yeah, there were Family Dollar. Yeah, it's on their list of items to take care of.
Okay.
The snow signs have been up since...
Years.
Okay, the streetlights downtown, who's responsible for them?
Which streetlights? The ones on 57?
Yeah, the ones we put up on the, well, the bid or whoever put up on the poles. Not the big streetlights, the decorative ones. We have 11 of those out.
On the avenue?
On the avenue.
Light bulbs.
Some of them are literally both sides, and then they're double again, so it leaves a very dark section of the street there.
I've never asked that question, since I've been here.
We used to, but I think it's, it got transferred over to the bid, but I can't swear to that.
And we take care of the ones in the municipal lot, and I just had a lot of those bulbs and covers replaced.
Well, from the church down to the bank, there's 11 out.
All right, I'll discuss that with John, I'm not sure.
I don't know either. Krausers on South Lincoln side, even though, I mean, we haven't had extremely cold weather yet, but I drove by there the other day, that is the most horrific, horrendous looking thing over there.
The old Krausers?
Yeah, the old Krausers on South Lincoln. The side, South Lincoln side?
Yes, I have seen it.
The weeds and garbage, the stuff that's over there,
I believe the owner has been written a summons.
And then maybe I can address it to you, Rudy. What about on the old bank building? I see people are starting to post signs on there now, like for advertising on that building.
They're advertising, I'm not aware.
Well, Mr. Music has one on there.
It's not permitted on the vacant property, off-premise signs.
Right.
So I will take care of that tomorrow.
Okay.
The owner of those two properties is looking for court.
Okay. Then the Yeoman's Avenue issue?
She said...
Not just the signage, what about cleaning up that garbage and the vegetation and all that nonsense that was over there?
That was taken care of. That was cut back, okay?
It was what?
From Yeoman's all the way back.
The weeds?
Beyond the trailers. And it looked good.
On Yeoman's and Park?
The next week, there were a load of bottles that were crushed, cans thrown where they had cut back 6 to 8 feet of that vegetation. So, I want to say, us residents are junking up our own property.
I don't know, I wrote through there, it looks...
Yeoman's
looks pretty lousy.
It does look lousy, but the thing is, the property owner cut it up and cleaned it up, and within a week, it got junked up again, with everything you can think of. And I talked to the workers at those trailers. It's not them, and I believe it.
Is it Yeoman's and Park, that's what I'm asking you? Is it Yeoman's and Park? On the corner?
Yeah, no, not the corner.
That's what I'm talking about. On the corner, that is just like a pit. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. He did not cut anything back over there.
They did cut it back.
No, he didn't. Not on Yeoman's and Park.
About a month ago, when I was up there, they cut it back. And again, I'm confident that their residents aren't going back there from the apartments and junking it up.
I'm not talking about on the back side. I'm talking about on the front side, right there at Park and Yeoman.
Yeah.
They do not, there's no residents throwing anything out because he didn't clean out there.
Well, I love to find the residents that are junking up my backyard and front yard because I'm picking up garbage every other day, if not every day, on South Lincoln and Broad Street. And I know it's not me and it's not my neighbors, but I'll tell you, it's somebody in this town
that doesn't, or a lot of people don't give a damn. I'd love to catch them.
Rudy, why don't we follow up on that tomorrow and take a look at Humans and Park and
like what Ethel's
take
saying,
some pictures?
It is
I'm
coming
just telling
off
you,
railroad,
if he didn't clean
corner,
right there on Railroad and Park. Railroad and Park, and it's right there on the corner.
But Ethel, really, it starts at Railroad coming all the way around
yes.
the corner, going
sure.
all the way
right,
past.
Right, because you can't even, when I get ready to turn on Park Avenue,
right.
I have to go all the way out to get in on Park Avenue because I can't see anything. He didn't clean that over there.
Right.
For years, he have not cleaned that.
So we'll look at it again tomorrow.
Right.
Well, I was just asking before Mr. Warren comes back again, and it'll be
right.
the third time
no,
coming
I
back
agree.
To us, correct?
The code officer will follow up with me, and I'll get back to you.
We
okay.
haven't for years.
That was that. That was that. And if I can address this to you also, I know that they're not going to do the yellow curbs on 57 because of paving next year. But what can we do? Because it's really, really becoming like people can't turn the corners. They can't pull out. Railroad Avenue and 57, because the yellow curb is dissipated, they are literally parked right smack to the corner on the highway. They're doing it on Railroad Avenue, on Washington Avenue, down by Doris's, in front of the Wells Fargo Bank. I mean, there were seven cars parked from the PNC Bank all the way to the corner, and their tail was actually hanging out onto Belvedere Avenue. That's really only, I think it's two original parking spots there. There was like five or six cars squeezed in there.
They can only park within a certain distance of the intersection.
Yeah, but they do, but nobody's doing anything about it. They're parking. Today, I saw across the fire hydrant and across the crosswalk, and that's every day in front of Doris and Spider Steepers there.
Yeah.
It's straight across all the time.
I also got a phone call from a resident on Green Street, Mr. McGuire. But as you turn off of Belvedere Avenue, they're parked
right
there. I went up
corner.
There one night and I almost hit the car.
Right.
Well, we understand that parking is a big issue in Washington Borough, but we're also, I don't want to say we're not parking enforcement, but that's lower on our priority than a lot of the calls that we're responding to throughout the day. And unfortunately, we don't always have the time to go out and enforce the parking too close to intersections and all the other parking enforcement that needs to get done. We do see if we will take care of it.
Okay. But
or
like
if we get a call, we
right.
will take care of
but
it.
Like Railroad Avenue, like a lot of people come down, they can't see what's pulling out, and then when the kids get out of school, and I mean that's the busy intersection, Belvedere, Broad, and Washington,
yes.
and when people are parked right to that corner, that poor crossing guard down there, she's got her hands full because she can't see because everybody's parked right up to those corners.
You could have 100 officers at any given time
right.
in the borough and not take care of all the parking issues.
Right.
It's a fact that we're facing.
Oh, I know we have major issues. I was
yeah,
just concerned more about those
corners. And you have
issues
like Grand Avenue and 57, which are just horrendous to try to make a left out of their
Correct.
Features.
Correct.
But unfortunately, you can't control the left turns as long as you do it, I forget the wording, it's with due caution.
Correct.
And yield to the traffic and pedestrians.
Correct.
And unfortunately, you can't make the left turns at the on West Washington Avenue and East Washington, which is the state highway, the state has jurisdiction whether
right.
or not to put it on the left
right.
side, no left turn.
And then the last thing I have is Filbert. Do businesses have the same garbage regulations as we do for four bags or two 32-gallon containers, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But they can pay
but
for
But they
other.
Can contract with another.
Right. With another.
Standard.
Sanitation company.
Okay.
For extra pickup.
Only because I've seen it a few times where they've got their bags or containers out front, and then they're also putting them, what is that, Cornish?
Yeah.
In the back.
In the back, but they're piling them up like, I mean, they're over my head out of the
garbage. Is it on a Friday or a Thursday, our pickup days, or?
It's our pickup days.
Is it
regular garbage, our pickup days.
So he's got tons of bags there.
Yeah, but that's what I was asking. Like,
you can Sal's contract that with somebody else. I mean,
right.
they have that option.
Right, but this is our garbage picking up.
Yeah.
Are you certain it's Blue Diamond?
Absolutely, because I followed the truck down. Yeah. Not purposely. I got stuck behind him when they were picking up garbage, and that's how I saw it. I was like, holy cow. And it was just, you know, piled up there. But they're putting garbage out front and out back.
I'll speak to Blue Diamond about
I mean, I don't know if they know when they're picking up and back.
They may not, but I'll speak to the boss at Blue Diamond, so to find out where they're picking it up.
Okay. I'm done.
Are you done?
I'm done.
The more you can talk to Blue Diamond about, when are they supposed to actually start their pickups?
They start on the avenue earlier, because that's where most of the traffic starts.
Now, everybody knows the neighborhood that I live in. Some people put their trash out the night before, other people put their trash out on the way to work in the morning. Last Friday, they came through at 6:20. And there was a lot of phone ringing at my house saying that I didn't get my garbage out. And I said, well, call the borough manager and she'll have them come back and pick it up. Which I don't think they did, because they actually had two kids out, so whatever it was.
Since the holiday, isn't it?
No, they were still there at 6:20. I don't think we're supposed to actually start picking up until 7 o'clock in the residential area.
If I'm telling you, it was at the holiday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Probably had two trucks in the area.
Well, okay. The parking on Green Street, I received a phone call. You got the same phone call, I think? Okay. They are requesting a no parking sign from here to the curb, or here to the corner. Okay, Mr. Flynn, the guy who was here about the flooding of his garage, I had talked with Dawson about that. Christine, can you see if Dawson made contact with him? Okay, and along with, you know, the stuff that's left out, coming in here just tonight on East Church Street, there are two mattresses somebody out there.
Yep, it is.
Sitting
smack.
Got that, Rudy?
Right there.
I can't say that. There's two mattresses in somebody's room.
Yep.
December 14th.
Okay, thank you.
That's my next birthday.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and another thing. Listen, when I was down at the league, I talked to you guys about it the last meeting about the pothole repair.
Mm-hmm.
We put away $10,000 for hot patch, correct? Okay, there is a company that will come in and give us a presentation. They repair potholes, and what they do is it's all contained in one machine. They come in, they blow the dirt out with air, they put an adhesive in the pothole, and then they fill it with a mixture that they mix right away of like a hot patch, and then they put cold stone over top of it so it can be driven on right away, and you know, the pieces don't chip up. They guarantee it. And it's about $200 an hour to do. Now, I figured we're putting away $10,000. That $10,000 at $200 an hour would be more, they would come in for however long we want them, but a minimum of a 40-hour week, or they would prorate it based on what we need. So at 40-hour week, they're patching our road for $8,000, and we're putting away $10,000, and they're guaranteeing it. Should we contact them to have them come up here and give us a presentation?
How long do they guarantee it?
They said it'll last longer than the road around the patch.
You need to get them in here.
Yeah, no guarantee.
That's what he said. He said the patch will actually last longer than the road around.
We need to get them in here. We're continuously hot patching, so
absolutely.
I mean, but.
And we do coal patch too, which lasts about 3 days.
Exactly.
Coal patch is useless.
Yeah, it's okay for your driver.
But we get complaints daily about potholes and then.
Yeah, coal patch is great for your driveway.
Right.
It's terrible on a well-traveled road.
But I think it can be done year-round because it's in a self-contained unit.
Do you have the information?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Would you like it?
Sure, will you give it to me?
Well, that depends. And I think that's all I have.
Yeah, I think I did stop in to see them, too, but there were a couple people in there. I didn't get to talk to them.
It's amazing.
But I did see it.
The guy sits there in the truck, blows the pothole out with his air, and then he puts the adhesive down, and then they mix the blacktop.
Is it a one-man, two-man, three-man
job? It's a one-man job in the truck.
One man, huh?
What did they say? I mean, he said he needs, I forget how many potholes that they can get done in 8 hours. But it was something ridiculous. And since we're putting that money away anyway for hot patch, and we get a guarantee,
Did we have to do it for a 40-hour week, or are we just talking?
No, he said, no, they would like that. I mean, they would like to, they're from Delaware, I think. But they would come up here, and it's no extra cost, it's $200 an hour.
Okay.
And they would come up here, and they would prefer to have it, everything that we need to have done, they do it like a 40-hour week, schedule a 40-hour week. Or if we need them for 20 hours, then they schedule it for 20 hours. You know what I mean?
But hopefully do the rest of the neighboring community.
Okay. Yeah.
It might be worth it to schedule them twice a year, right after winter and right before winter.
Mm-hmm. Give us the stuff all up well.
I mean, it's a guarantee.
Start making a road out of
it.
Guarantee.
That's what we want.
We need a pothole that's the whole size of Belvedere Avenue.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins? That's it. Mr. Heinrich,
I have nothing.
Ms. Moon?
I enjoyed shopping at our downtown on the 28th. They have the Chops Mall, and so that was a nice event. And there were more people than usual out in the downtown, so that was good to see. And then I know John Monteverdi usually comes quite often to the meetings, but I have the invitation, so just that this coming Saturday is the family on the holiday, so downtown Washington, and they're going to start at 4 o'clock and do the tree lighting by the municipal building here. And then that they actually have on the schedule that Santa Claus will be coming around 5:15, and that will be at Arcana for kids to visit. And then there's also Allie's Cupcakery is having a cupcake decorating contest, and there's a whole bunch of different businesses doing things. So hopefully people will come to that this Saturday. It'll be a nice, inexpensive way to entertain the kids in downtown Washington.
Anything else? Ms. Conway.
I guess Happy Hanukkah. That's coming up.
Okay.
Sunday night.
Well, I was down at the league. I saw this Utility Service Partners, which is endorsed by the National League of Cities. They do a service line warranty program for sewer lines, water lines. It's the New Jersey American Water does offer the same type of thing. This seems to be a little bit less. It also could be a revenue source for us, you know, because they will want to use our logo, if you will, as they send out twice a year their information trying to gather customers. If they get enough of them, there'll be a small amount of revenue to us. I'd like to get them to come in and give us their dog and pony show and talk about it. It seems that it would be a little bit less expensive than what New Jersey American Water offers. I think what their benefits are might be a little bit less too, but it could be a little lower cost option for the citizens. And they are in New Jersey. They're in the borough of Cliffside Park, and they just got approval to do this in New Jersey, and they're just expanding now. So I'd like to get them in if nobody has any objections.
That's like the New Jersey American Water Company has the
your water pipe bursts, they'll hire a local contractor to come in and dig it up and repair it.
Right.
There's a lot of limitations on that. I have it.
So
like the fine print, there's a lot of limitations.
Do you have yours?
This might be better.
Yeah, it's at least worth a look.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And since they'll be using our logo, you know, on their emails, that gives us the opportunity for a small amount of revenue to come into.
Sewer, water, gas.
Okay.
Christmas. Paramount Properties, we haven't heard anything from them in a long time, have we?
We have not. However, they were in the process of trying to sell all of them.
They've been in the process of trying to sell the entire time they've owned.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But they do have a purchaser in mind. I don't know where they are in the process, but Rudy and I have been working with them a lot, providing them with information about the building permits, et cetera, and he's giving me a thumbs up, so it sounds like it's going well.
Okay, so we don't really need to press the thumb down on them, you don't think?
I have the thumb on them yet.
Okay, but we don't need to put any more pressure. Okay. Yeah, that's the one. That's why we can't do anything to them, is because they keep paying the taxes in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I have. We have need of an executive session, so I would take a motion for that after a five-minute break.
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?